Imagine the following. You are driving through the savannah in the first light of morning. The air is still cool and dew lies on the grass. Suddenly, a strange figure appears in front of you. Stocky, with a short neck, a massive head, and four white tusks. They jut upwards like little ivory swords. And the animal runs through the tall grass, its tail held straight up like a little antenna. And behind it, three or four young ones follow in a perfect line, all with their tails held high. Warthogs. And anyone seeing the animal for the first time usually laughs, and warthogs just look funny, almost like a caricature, as if nature had decided to make a pig and then mixed up all the proportions. I am the safari guide. My name is Frank. Today it's all about the warthog. It is often laughed at and often underestimated. The warthog is not a delicate animal. It is robust, sturdily built, and to be honest, looks a bit out of proportion. The head is very large, really massive, and makes up about a third of the entire body length. The neck is short, the shoulders are very strong, and the legs, to me, seem too thin in relation to the bulky torso. The most striking feature of the warthog is its tusks. These are greatly enlarged canine teeth. Each animal has four of them, two in the upper jaw and two in the lower jaw. The upper tusks are noticeably larger than the lower ones. In fully grown boars, they can reach up to 60 centimeters in length. They curve upwards and slightly outwards. They look like small tusks. The lower tusks, on the other hand, are shorter, sharper, and extremely sharp-edged. They are the animal's real weapons. When a warthog fights, it mainly uses these lower tusks. With them, it can inflict deep, dangerous wounds. The tusks are made mainly of dentin, that is tooth bone, and they are covered by a layer of hard enamel. Biologically, it's the same basic material as the other teeth, only these canine teeth are massively elongated. And what else is special? They grow throughout the animal's entire life. This is important because they are constantly worn down by digging and fighting. By the way, the dentin of the tusks is almost the same material as the ivory of elephant tusks. Only the composition and structure are different. There is also trade in warthog tusks, but to a much lesser extent than the illegal trade in elephant ivory. In some places, they are made into jewelry, carvings, and souvenirs. And now comes something truly fascinating. The tusks have a built-in self-sharpening mechanism. Every time the warthog opens and closes its mouth, the lower tusks grind against the upper ones like on a whetstone. And so they remain razor sharp for life. A brilliant design by nature. I can recognize male warthogs by their distinctive facial growths, the so-called warts, and that's where they get their name from. Warthogs. The warts are thick, fleshy bumps. They are located on the sides below the eyes and right next to the snout. They are made of connective tissue and primarily serve as protection during fights. When two boars go at each other with their tusks, things get pretty brutal. And the warts act as padding, protecting the face from bites. They're a kind of battle helmet. Females also have warts, but they are much smaller and less noticeable. They don't need them as often either. They simply fight less than the males. And the warthog's coat is thin, bristly, and what really stands out, very sparse. You could almost say it's more skin than fur. Along their back, they have a short, scruffy mane made of rather stiff bristles. If the animal is excited or feels threatened, it raises its bristles, making the warthog appear larger and more dangerous. So, and then there's this special tail. It's long, very thin, and has a small tuft at the end. And when the warthog runs, especially when it flees, it sticks this tail straight up in the air. It then looks like a little flag, or as many say, like an antenna. This is a signal for the young animals. It means, follow me, so follow me. And that way, the little ones can't lose their mother in the tall grass. The warthog's eyes are noticeably high on its head. There's a practical reason for that. When the animal grazes with its head lowered or roots around in the ground, it can still keep an eye on its surroundings. An adult warthog reaches a shoulder height of about 60 to 80 centimeters. Males, that is, the boars, weigh up to 110 kilograms. females or sows are significantly lighter. If you're curious about what this extraordinary animal really looks like, you can find warthog photos I've taken on my website, safariguide.online. Warthogs are active during the day. That's a special trait among pigs. Most pigs are actually crepuscular or nocturnal. But the warthog has adapted to a life in daylight. As soon as the sun rises, they leave their burrows and start searching for food. They graze, root around, and explore their territory. When it gets hot during the day, they usually look for shade or love to wallow in the mud. The animals really enjoy it, you can see that. In the evening, they disappear back into their burrows. Why are they active during the day? It is believed that the nights in the savannah are very dangerous for a warthog. Leopards, hyenas, lions, they all hunt at night. In its burrow, the warthog is safer. And now it gets interesting. There are areas where warthogs are heavily hunted by humans. And humans hunt during the day, and there they change their behavior and become nocturnal. That means they are active at night and sleep in their burrows during the day. And that actually shows their high intelligence and adaptability. They learn that daytime is dangerous and adapt their way of life accordingly. And there's something else that's pretty cool. When warthogs come out of their burrow in the morning, they don't do it leisurely. They burst out at full speed. This gives them a head start over any predator that might be lurking nearby. So, on a safari where you're traveling on foot, it's not advisable to be too curious and look into a hole. That can end pretty badly. Warthogs don't have the luxury of getting up leisurely in the morning, stretching, and taking a little walk. No, from the very first moment, it's all about survival. Warthogs live in small family groups, which are called sounders. And a typical sounder consists of an adult sow and 2 to 4 young animals. The boars usually live alone. They only join a sounder during mating season. And young boars stay with their mother for about a year, then they are driven off. Boars often form bachelor groups with other teenagers. Warthogs are generally not particularly aggressive towards their own kind. Encounters between different sounders are usually peaceful. Only among the boars are there actually disputes. What do warthogs eat? Their main food is short, fresh grass. And here comes a peculiarity. Warthogs kneel while eating. They lower themselves onto their front legs while their hind legs remain stretched out. They graze in this position. Why? Yes, because their neck is so short. When they stand upright, they simply can't reach the grass. So they've developed a strategy that fits their body structure. The skin on their knees is thickened and covered with calluses. This is a natural protection against the hard ground. And really fascinating, these calluses already form in the fetus while still in the mother's womb. The warthog is basically born with built-in knee pads. Warthogs eat not only grass, but also roots, tubers, berries, and fruits. Although they are mainly herbivores, they do occasionally treat themselves to small animals. Which ones? Insects, worms, snakes, mice, and sometimes even bird eggs. And they need water regularly. That's why they usually stay close to water sources. If I see a warthog, I can assume that the nearest water source is no more than 5 to 6 kilometers away. At the water, they love to wallow extensively in the mud. These mud baths are vital for them. The mud cools their skin, protects them from sunburn, and keeps parasites away. After the bath, the warthog looks like a ball of mud. But that's exactly the point. Parasites are a constant problem, after all. And this is where a really fascinating side of the warthog comes to light. It has learned to cooperate with other animals. Warthogs maintain relationships with various animal species. For example, oxpeckers. These are small birds that land on warthogs and eat ticks, lice, and other pests. By the way, you also often see these birds on giraffes, zebras, or buffalo. In Queen Elizabeth Park in Uganda, warthogs have developed a special relationship with mongooses. If you can't picture a mongoose right now, visually they most closely resemble a marten or a weasel. And about mongooses, I'll definitely do a dedicated episode at some point. So, when mongooses appear near warthogs, the warthogs lie down, almost as if they're asking for help. And the mongooses, they then climb over them and systematically eat ticks and other parasites from their fur. and the warthogs patiently stay lying down during this. They even roll onto their sides so the mongooses can clean their bellies too. That means the warthogs benefit from being freed of parasites and the mongooses get a nutritious meal. A perfect win-win situation. This is called mutualism. By the way, warthogs are surprisingly fast. Their preferred defense strategy is actually to flee and hide. When escaping, they can reach speeds of up to 50 kilometers per hour. And that's despite their short legs. I think that's incredibly fast. 50 kilometers per hour. When a predator appears, warthogs run as fast as they can to their burrow. And there, they disappear backwards, meaning with their head facing the entrance. This way, they can use their tusks for defense if an attacker tries to follow them into the burrow. For warthogs, burrows are vital for survival. But they usually don't dig them themselves. Instead, they often take over abandoned aardvark burrows or old termite mounds. Sometimes porcupines or mongooses also use the same burrows, but at different times, and this works very well. A sounder usually uses 3, 4, or 5 burrows. They regularly change their dwelling. This increases their safety, and depending on the season or food availability, they use different parts of their territory. And the burrows provide protection from predators, from heat, and from cold. An entire sounder can sleep in a single burrow. Yes, but if a warthog can no longer escape, it switches to defense mode. It lowers its head, raises its mane, and charges at the attacker. And the lower tusks cut like knives. And sideways blows can inflict deep wounds. By the way, these tusks can actually be much longer than a lion's canine teeth. Even large predators think twice before engaging in a fight. Warthogs are defensive, but they still have many enemies. Lions, leopards, hyenas, wild dogs, cheetahs. They all hunt warthogs. As always, it's the young animals that are especially at risk. Many are killed in the first months of their lives. Even eagles and other large birds of prey sometimes snatch a small piglet. Large pythons also hunt young warthogs. And then there are the crocodiles by the water. They are actually a danger to all animals. I talked about crocodiles in my very first podcast episode, so you can still listen to that. All right, and now I'll talk about reproduction. The boars actively search for sows that are ready to mate. When they find one, they stay with her for a few days. But several boars can also compete for the same sow, and then fights break out. And these are fierce, brutal confrontations. The tusks are used as weapons. And the fights sometimes end very bloody, with deep cuts on the head, shoulders, and flanks. At least the warts on the face protect the sensitive areas, like the eyes, for example. The winner mates with the sow. And then the boar moves on in search of the next sow and the game starts all over again. The gestation period is about 6 months. Shortly before giving birth, the sow retreats into an earthen burrow. There, she usually gives birth to 2 to 4 piglets. The piglets are tiny at birth, weighing only about 1 kilogram. They are almost naked, completely helpless. Their eyes are also closed. And during the first days, mother and piglets stay in the burrow. The sow only leaves the den briefly to drink or eat something. She is extremely vigilant during this time. After about 2 weeks, the piglets open their eyes for the first time. After 4 to 6 weeks, they leave the den and follow their mother outside for the first time. The piglets learn quickly. They watch their mother as she grazes, digs, and wallows in the mud, and they learn where water is, where danger lurks, and how to flee. And now an interesting point, each piglet has its own teat. And the sow has 4 teats, and each piglet suckles exclusively from a specific one. If a sibling dies, the teat remains unused. That's why litters usually consist of up to 4 piglets. The mother nurses her young for about 4 months. By then, the piglets are already independent, but they still stay with their mother until they are about a year old. Warthogs live an average of 10 years. But they can live up to 15 years. They too play an important role in the savanna ecosystem. They root around in the soil and loosen the earth. In this way, they promote the growth of new plants. And they spread seeds, which they ingest with their food and later excrete. And of course, warthogs are an important food source for many predators. After all, lions and other predators have to eat something too. As prey animals, they keep the predator population healthy and thus contribute to the balance of the ecosystem. For me, warthogs are fascinating animals. They show us that you don't have to be big or particularly dangerous to survive in the wild. You just have to be adaptable, clever, and willing to eat on your knees. They are not majestic like lions, not elegant like leopards, and not as big as elephants. But they are genuine. They are tough and they look funny. Thank you for joining me on Safari today. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the Safari Guide, please check out my Patreon page. With your financial support, you help me continue this podcast independently and ad-free. And in doing so, you make it possible for new episodes to feature deeper research and even more stories from the world of safaris. Because that's what this is all about, not just seeing animals, but understanding them. You can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much. Until the next episode, Frank, your safari guide.